thank him for making himself available for us regardless of his tight schedule, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward him tremendously and bless him in his knowledge and his effort. أيها الأحباب لا أريد أن أستأجر بالوقت فأنتم كلكم في شوق لسماع حديث شيخنا العزيز لتنحلوا من معين علمه فأترككم الآن مع فضيلة الشيخ ليلقي الكلمة حول الموضوع المهم غاية الأهمية ألا وهو من هم العلماء وممن يؤخذ العلم سائلين الله جل وعلا أن يوفق فضيلة الشيخ وأن يلحمه السداس القول وأن ينفعنا جميعا بما نسمع والآن مع فضيلته فليتفضل مشكورا مأجورا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على رسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وأتباعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فإنني أسعد في هذه الليلة بمشاركة إخواني وأخواتي المسلمين في كل مكان على وجه هذه الأرض المعمورة أسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلني وإياهم من المتحابين في الله المجتمعين على توحيده جل وعلا واتباع رسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ثم إن فضيلة الشيخ زاهد رشيد قد وصفني بما لست أهلا له فإنني من طلاب العلم المستفيدين من العلماء وإنني من المقصرين في هذا العلم ومن المقصرين في حق الله عز وجل تقصيرا عظيما لكن المطمع في مغفرة الله ورحمته وإحسانه وتجاوزه أما ما يتعلق بموضوع هذه الليلة وهو من هم العلماء وممن يؤخذ العلم فإنني أجدني مضطرا للحديث عن العلم لأن العلماء هم الذين يحملون العلم نعم
طيب الشيخ حفظه الله started his discussion by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending the salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and those who follow him. And he mentioned that it pleases him to participate with the brothers and sisters in this particular gathering. And he acknowledges that with a Shaykh Zahid describing it, that he really doesn't deserve it and he is only a student of knowledge. And that he is, inshallah, going to deal with this particular very important topic. And that is, who are the scholars? And from whom should knowledge be taken? And this is how he started to deal with this particular issue. And the Shaykh is going to begin his discussion, inshallah. Tayyib Shaykh, and I tafaddal.
العلم هو في لغة العرب المعرفة ومعنى ذلك في الشرع هو معرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة فالعلم في اللغة هو المعرفة وفي الشرع هو معرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة ومن خير ما وقفت عليه من تعريف للعلم ما ذكره الحافظ ابن رجب رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه النفيس فضل علم التنافع بالخلف قال رحمه الله تعالى عن العلم نور يقذف في القلب يفهم به العبد الحق، نور يقذف في القلب يفهم به العبد الحق ويميز به بينه وبين الباطل، ويعبر عن ذلك بعبارة وجيزة محصدة للمقاصد. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. ومعنى أنه نور يقذف في القلب ليس هذا من باب الإلهام، أو أن الإنسان يستيقظ من نومه أو من غفلة أو من ما ثم يجد العلم في صدره، وإنما بكثرة طلب العلم والعبادة وإرادة اتباع الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ومعرفة مراد الله جل وعلا للعمل به والقيام به وتعليمه الناس ونشره، فهذا من أعظم مقامات العبودية. فإذا صدق العبد في ذلك قذف الله في قلبه فهم الكتاب والسنة وجعله من أهل الفقه.
طيب، the Sheikh started out his discussion and he started out with the definition of knowledge. And he says al-ilm, knowledge, is understanding and knowing. Legally, it is knowing the Deen of Islam with the evidences. Knowing the Deen of Islam with its evidences. And Ibn Rajab, in his book, The Virtues of the Knowledge of the Salaf Above the Knowledge of the Khalaf, he said, knowledge is light that is cast into the heart. Knowledge is light which is cast into the heart and it is understood. The slave uses this particular knowledge to distinguish between what is right and what is false and wrong. Light which is cast into the heart. And it increases with an abundance of ibadah and intent to follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to act upon this knowledge and put it into practice and to teach it to the people. This is one of the highest stations of subservience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with this, the Quran and the Sunnah is understood.
والعلم بدين الإسلام يتضمن العلم بالغيبيات والعلم بالعمليات، أي العلم بالأحداث الغيبية عن الله تعالى عن اليوم الآخر، وكذلك العلم بالأحكام من الأوامر والنواهي المتعلقة بالعبادات والمعاملات. العلم بدين الإسلام لا بد أن يكون مبنيا على الإيمان والتصديق والتسليم لله عز وجل. الإيمان والتصديق والتسليم لله عز وجل والاستسلام له، سيكون العلم بالغيبيات وكذلك العلم بالعمليات، العمليات التي تكون بالإنسان والتي يكون بالمكان بالوارح. يؤمن الأخبار الغيبية التي في ملكوت السماوات أو التي تكون فيما بعد أو التي كانت الأنبياء ولم نعرف عنها إلا من الكتاب أو السنة. فيجب أن ينبني العلم على العلم بالغيبيات والعلم بالعمليات. نعم.
Knowledge. The Sheikh is going and he's continuing explaining about knowledge, and it involves knowledge of the Deen of Islam, of the knowledge that we get from the Quran and the Sunnah of the unseen, of what is apparent and what is unseen, And what will happen on Yawm al-Qiyamah in the life to come. It also includes acts of worship and business transaction and other social relationships in the deen. And this is based on iman that we have and believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submitting to Him and carrying out whatever He commands us to do. And this ability to carry out what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do has to do with knowledge that we have from the unseen that we receive from Allah and His Messenger and putting those things into practice. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us of some of these things of the unseen, things that will happen during his time and after that is a part of the knowledge that we have received from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يا شيخ يعني لو استطعت أن ترفع صوتك لأننا لا نسمع يعني كثيرا مما تقول بارك الله فيك يا شيخ
بإذن الله الآن ذكرنا ما يتعلق بتعريف العلم وندخل فيما يلي ما يتعلق بصبر العلم ومنزلة العلماء حتى نعرف من هم العلماء فقد فضل الله تعالى العلم فضل الله عز وجل العلم بكتابه العظيم الكريم ورفع من شأن العلم بسنة رسوله الكريم صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ورغب في ذلك رغب بالعلم بالكتاب والعلم بالسنة وجعل سبحانه وتعالى العلماء الوحيين في أرفع مرتبة وأعلى منزلة وأشرف مرتبة بعد الأنبياء رفع الله تعالى ورفع الله تعالى للعبد ليس مثل رفع المخلوق لمخلوق مثله يقول الله جل وعلا يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات والله بما تعمل خبير وأمر الله تعالى أن يسأل ويدعى مزيدا من العلم فقال جل وعلا وقل رب زدني علما وقال سبحانه قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون
طيب Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the virtue of knowledge in His book, the Noble Qur'an, and in the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And He has also mentioned, He has mentioned the virtue of ilm and the people of knowledge also. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged the acquisition of knowledge, and this is also found in the book where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the station of the Ahlul Ilm and their status. He mentions in the Quran that Allah raises those who believe and those who have been given knowledge in levels. And Allah also mentions in the Quran and He directs the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and He points out that the station of the Anbiya, the scholars are after them in terms of status. As a matter of fact, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it requires of him or directs him to do this and to seek an increase in knowledge, He says, and say, My Lord, increase me in knowledge. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poses this particular question in dealing with the virtue of knowledge and the people of ilm. Are those who have knowledge equal to those who do not know? This is a rhetorical question, meaning no, they're not equal. طيب يا شيخنا تفضل.
وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وإن العالم ليستغفر له من في السماوات ومن في الأرض. والشيطان في الماء إن فضل العالم على العابد كفضل القمر ليلة البدر على سائر الكواكب، وإن العلماء ورثة الأنبياء، وإن الأنبياء لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما، وإنما ورث العلم، فمن أخذ به أخذ بحظ نافر. أخرجه أبو داود والترمذي وابن ماجه وابن حبان والحاكم وصححه. وقال ابن حبان في هذا الحديث بيان واضح أن العلماء الذين لهم الفضل الذي ذكرنا هم الذين يعلمون علم النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم دون غيره من سائر العلوم. لا تراه يقول العلماء ورثة الأنبياء، والأنبياء لم يورثوا إلا العلم، وعلم نبينا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم سنته، فمن تعرى عن معرفتها لم يكن من ورثة الأنبياء. انتهى كلام ابن حبان. ومعنى كلام ابن حبان أن العلوم كثيرة، علوم كثيرة، منها علوم شرعية ومنها علوم دنوية، فالممدوح في الشرع والمرفوع مقامه في الدنيا وفي الآخرة عند الله عز وجل، والممدوح في الكتاب والسنة هو العلم بالكتاب والعلم بالسنة. نعم.
طيب شيخ حفظه الله، in dealing with the virtue of the Ahlul Ilm, he mentioned a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he mentioned that the scholar, that the companions of the sky, the heavens and the earth seek forgiveness for him. So much so that even the fish in the sea seek forgiveness for him. And surely, the scholars are inheritors of the Prophets. To know that the Prophets did not leave as an inheritance gold coins and silver coins. What they left as an inheritance is ilm, knowledge. And whoever has been given this has been given an abundance of good. Ibn Shibban mentions that this is a clear explanation of the status of the scholar, and that they are and that they are the ones who carry and convey the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and no one else. So the scholars then are the inheritors of the Prophets, and the knowledge that they inherit is the knowledge of the deen. The knowledge spoken of here is knowledge of the book and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not the other types of knowledge. Hey. So there is an abundance of knowledge out there. But what is intended in terms of knowledge and the acquisition that is encouraged is knowledge that is taken from the book and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. طيب يا شيخ تفضل.
وأخذ الشيخان عن معاوية بن أبي سفيان رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال: من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. فقال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إن الله يعطي الدنيا من ومن لا يحب، ولا يعطي الفقه إلا من يحب. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلنا ممن يحبهم الله عز وجل. وأخرج الإمام أحمد في المسند من حديث أنس رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال: إن مثل العلماء في الأرض كمثل النجوم في السماء يهتدى بها في ظلمات البر والبحر. نعم.
The Sheikh continued his discussion on ilm, and he mentioned the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever Allah intends good for, he gives him understanding of the deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this particular, for those people that Allah intends good, He gives them understanding of the deed. But for the dunya, Allah gives the dunya to those who He likes and those who He dislikes. But as for knowledge, He only gives it to those that He loves. Qala Abu Hatim. Abu Hatim mentioned that the similitude of the scholar in the earth are like the stars in the sky. They are guided by them in the darknesses of the land and in the sea. طيب تفضل يا شيخ.
والعلماء ليسوا على درجة واحدة، بل المنتسبون للعلم الشرعي ليسوا على درجة واحدة، وإنما هم على درجات ومراتب. ومن الخطأ أن يعامل أهل العلم على أنهم على مرتبة واحدة، بل إن لهم مراتب متعددة ودرجات متفاوتة من جهة علمهم بالكتاب والسنة، ومن جهة إيمانهم بالعلم وخشيتهم لله جل وعلا. والمراد هنا بيان مراتبهم من جهة علمهم بالكتاب والسنة. فأعظم مراتب أهل العلم وأرفعها هو المجتهد المطلق، وهو من يجتهد في المسائل بإطلاق مسائل الشريعة، فهو يعرف الدليل ويعرف مذاهب أهل العلم من الصحابة ومن بعدهم، فينظر في الدليل وينظر في الواقعة وينزل الأدلة على هذه الواقعة. وهؤلاء هم المجتهدون بإطلاق، وإليهم المرجع في النوازل والمعضلات والمدلهمات التي تنزل في الأمة في كل زمان ومكان. والمرتبة الثانية، وهي مرتبة دون الأولى، مرتبة المجتهد المقيد، هو من يجتهد في النظر في الروايات والأقوال الواردة في مذهبه فقط، ومعرفة مأخذ إمام المذهب وأصوله، فيكون عارفا بأصول المذهب، متمكن من التخريج عليها وقياس ما لم ينص عليها في المذهب، من غير أن يكون مقلدا لإمامه لا في الحكم ولا في الدليل، لكن سلك طريقه في الاجتهاد والفتيا، ودعا إلى مذهبه ورتبه وقرره، هو موافق له في مقصده وطريقه معا. وهذا بسبب عين، فإن هذه المذاهب الموجودة بين الناس هي مذاهب أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، والشريعة تشملها، وعلينا اتباع أهل العلم الموثوقين المقتدى بهم. نعم، ثم نذكر المراتب التالية. المرتبة الثالثة هي المجتهد في مذهب من انتسب إليه مقررا له بالدليل، متقنا لفتواه، عالما بها، لكن لا يتعدى أقواله وفتويه ولا يخالفها، وإذا وجد نص إمامه لم يعد عنه البتة، فهو دون الثاني في المرتبة. ثم هناك من دونهم، وهو من ينتسب إلى العلم ولم يبلغ هذه المرتبة، وإنما طلب العلم وحرص عليه ولم يبلغ مرتبة المجتهد في مذهبه الذي هو مقلد لإمامه، ومنهم من يكون دون ذلك يعني يكون مشاركا في العلوم، ومنهم من يكون دون ذلك أن يكون طالب علم كبير، ومنهم من هو دون ذلك أن يكون طالب علم متوسط، ومنهم من هو دون ذلك كأن يكون طالب علم مبتدئ، ومنهم من يختلف عن ذلك وهو أن يكون من أهل العلم في فن من الفنون، كأن يكون من أهل العلم في الفقه أو من أهل العلم في الحديث أو من أهل العلم في الاعتقاد ونحو ذلك. نعم.
طيب. One of the things we the Sheikh points out is that those who attribute themselves to legal knowledge, they are not on one level, but rather they are on different levels and in different stages. And a mistake that should not be made is that you deal with them as if they were on the same level. In respect to their knowledge of the book and their knowledge of the Sunnah and their concern for it and the display that they have of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the tranquility and humility that they have. The highest level is the mujtahid who is absolute in ijtihad. And the issues of Islamic law. So they are very, very well aware of all of the different issues concerning our deen. Okay? What distinguishes this group is that they know the evidences and from, for each issue, from the statements, of course, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, and the aqwal of the statements of the Salaf. They look into the evidences that they have, and then they look at the situation that is presented to them. And based on the evidence that they have, they deal with each particular situation as it presents itself. And they have things that they refer to, of course, when dealing with each separate case that it presents itself. So they themselves are a source of yani, references for the Ummah. When difficulties come, this group of individuals, these scholars, are the ones that the Ummah turn to under those circumstances. This is the case in each time and each place. This is the mujtahid al-mukhlaq, who are absolute in the areas of ijtihad, meaning that they're not restricted just to one chapter of learning. Then we have the mujtahid who is limited in his ijtihad. Alright? He benefits from the different opinions that we have, and also perhaps from his madhab, from the foundations or the principles of Islamic jurisprudence, and the discussion in the other branches of learning. He uses these things to draw analogy to help him to deal with different circumstances. This, he doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of evidences, and he is not just blindly following an individual, all right? His position or his ability is limited. So this person, he normally invites to his matter that he has, and they're of different levels. For this reason, the madahib or the different schools of thought that we have legally طيب, all of these different madahib, even though they have different deductions in terms of law, they are all taken from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also there is an ijma' of the ahl al-ilm that they use in terms of evidences. There is a third level, the mujtahid, who is actually following a specific imam. Alright? This level the individual normally takes from a particular scholar, and normally doesn't go beyond the imam that he takes from. Okay? We have another level, and these are for those individuals who attribute themselves to ilm, generally knowledge. But they have not attained the level of those previously discussed. Rather, they go out and they seek knowledge, but their status or the level that they have attained is not the level of ijtihad. Then we have another level, those who were just, taking from different aspects of learning. We have those who are some students of knowledge who are big, they are pretty seasoned in their development of Islamic learning. We have those who are in between that, and those who are beginners. Those are two different levels also. Also we have some of the Ahlul Ilm who specialize in one area of learning as opposed to another area of Islamic learning. تفضل يا شيخنا.
والآن يمكن أن نتحدث عن صفات العلماء المعتبرين الذين يقتدى بهم ويرجع إليهم. فللعلماء المعتبرين صفات يتميزون بها عن غيرهم, ومن تلك الصفات حفظ القرآن العظيم عن ظهر قلب, وحفظ سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في الجملة. هذه أول صفاتهم. ومن صفاتهم العلم والمعرفة بفقه أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لنصوص الكتاب والسنة. فهم مع حفظهم للقرآن وقيامهم به وحفظهم لسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ودراستها يعرفون فقه أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لهذه النصوص. الثالث من صفاتهم تعظيم الكتاب والسنة وإجلال الصحابة ومعرفة قدرهم, وأيضا توقير من سبقهم من أهل العلم من التابعين ومن بعدهم من سلف هذه الأمة, واعتبار ما روي عنه من صفاتهم. أيضا الوقوف مع الحجة والاستدلال, فإذا كانت الحجة والاستدلال مخالف لمذهبهم أو مخالف لرأيهم أو لهواهم تركوا هذا الرأي وتركوا هذا المذهب وتركوا هذا الهوى وأخذوا بالحجة وما دل عليه الدليل. هذا من أعظم صفاتهم. يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى عن هذا الصنف من العلماء واقفين مع الحجة والاستدلال, واقفين مع الحجة والاستدلال, يسيرون مع الحق أين سارت ركائب, ويستقلون مع الصواب حيث استقلت مضاربه, وإذا بدا لهم الدليل وإذا بدا لهم الدليل بأخذته طاروا إليه زرافات ووجدانا. وإذا دعاهم الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إلى أمر انتدبوا إليه ولا يسألونه عما قال برهانا. ونصوصه أجل في صدورهم وأعظم في نفوسهم من أن يقدموا عليها قول أحد من الناس أو يعترضوها برأي أو قياس. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله تعالى. نعم.
طيب. Those followers that should be followed, they have certain qualities and characteristics that set them aside from others. These qualities are as follows. The memorization of the Quran, yani, from the heart, okay? And the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the pure sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have knowledge and understanding with the fiqh of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the textual evidences of the book and the sunnah. The understanding of the Sahaba, they have knowledge of the understanding of the Sahaba, which the Sahaba took from the Quran and the Sunnah. In spite of these scholars having knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, they take the fiqh of the Sahaba and utilize it. Now, also, they honor the Quran. This is another characteristic. Those were the first two. The third characteristic which distinguishes them, aside from other individuals, is their honoring of the Qur'an and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, holding it in high esteem. And honoring the Sahaba also, and recognizing their station. And also honoring those that preceded them in knowledge from amongst the Salaf, and considering their opinion also. The fourth quality is they stop wherever the evidence stops. Okay, they stop wherever the evidence stops. So once they have evidence, okay, once there is evidence, they leave their own opinions and their own statements aside. And they would adhere to the truth wherever it is. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya, he points out, he says, that this group, they are stationary wherever the evidence and the dalil is stationary. Okay? And they move with the dalil wherever the evidence moves. And once there is evidence, they adhere to it and take it. Right. And they go to it collectively and individually. So the evidence is, the textual evidence is more magnificent in their hearts than the statement of anyone else. And they do not put before the textual evidence any analogy or opinion.
ومن صفاتهم التأني في الفتوى، التأني والتريث في الفتوى وعدم الاستعجال وإحالة المستفتي على غيرهم من أهل العلم، فهم يتدافعون الفتوى. ومن صفاتهم التوقف فيما لا يعلمون ثم لا يعرفون، أو ما غاب عنهم من الأحكام. ومن صفاتهم العناية والاهتمام والحرص بتبليغ العلم ونشره وبثه بين الناس وكثرة الدروس والتعليم لترغيب الناس في ذلك. ومن صفاتهم انشغالهم بالعلم والعمل، فهو شغلهم الشاغل وهو حياتهم، وهو الذي يحبون، وهو الذي ينظرون فيه أوقاتهم، بدءا بالأهم فالمهم. فتجدهم لا يفترون عن تعليم الناس أصول دينهم، ولا يملون من تكثير ذلك، ولا ينقطعون عن الدعوة إليه والترغيب فيه والتحذير من مخالفته، والغيرة عليه أشد من الغيرة على سائر شعائر الإسلام وأحكامه، فهم يغارون عن أصل الدين وهو التوحيد والسنة. ومن صفاتهم القيام بحماية الدين والذب عنه وعن حماة الزود عن حياضه. نعم.
The Sheikh wrote on and he mentioned some of the other qualities. Some of the other qualities that the Ahlul Ilm have. And one of the things that they have is that they are cautious and they take their time before passing any type of religious ruling. They are not hasty. And also we find them preferring someone else to pass a religious ruling to themselves, if there is another individual. And they also are cautious in this area, if they have no knowledge about a particular issue. So if they, for a particular moment, might not have in the forefront of their mind the evidence for a particular issue, they are going to just refrain from answering. Of the qualities also that they have is their concern in conveying knowledge and passing it on to others. Passing it on to others. Mm-hmm. And also, yani, teaching and instructing others in the knowledge that they have been given. Also of the qualities, and this is another quality that is mentioned, their preoccupation with knowledge and also practice that knowledge, putting it into practice. Okay? They also, in terms of dealing with knowledge, whether conveying it or acquiring it, they start with that which is most important and then that which is important. There is a type of prioritization. And this is done, yani, from them without any type of boredom or getting tired, but it is something that they do constantly. And they also have a type of concern for the knowledge, alright, and also for the areas of Tawheed and the Sunnah. They are very concerned about it, that nothing touches these particular aspects of our deen. They are also, this is another quality, that they are the ones who stand up in defense of the Quran and the Sunnah, and for the deen also, in general.
ومن صفاتهم الخشوع لله تعالى وخشيته والخوف والرهبة منه جل وعلا والتوكل عليه والقيام بأمره والانتهاء عما نهى عنه سبحانه وتعالى. عن عوف بن مالك الأشعري رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم نظر إلى السماء فقال: هذا أوان رفع العلم، هذا أوان رفع العلم. فقال رجل من الأنصار يقال له لبيد بن زياد: يا رسول الله، يدفع العلم وقد أثبت ووعدته القلوب؟ فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إن كنت لأحسبك أفقه أهل المدينة، إن كنت لأحسبك أفقه أهل المدينة. ثم ذكر ضلالة اليهود والنصارى على ما في أيديهم من كتاب الله. فقال شداد بن عوف: ألا أخبرك بأول ذلك يرفع مكشوع حتى لا ترى خاشعا؟ ومن صفات العلماء المعتبرين من صفاتهم العمل بالعلم، فتجد العالم المعتبر عاملا بالكتاب والسنة متمسكا بالنوافل والسنن فضلا عن الواجبات، جانبا المكروهات والشبهات فضلا عن المحرمات.
طيب، the Sheikh goes on and he mentions some of the other qualities of the people of knowledge. One of the qualities that you find them having is humility and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also depending on Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Concerning and also adhering to whatever He commands. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once looked at this guy and he said, this seems to be the time of the raising up of knowledge. So one of the people said, O Messenger of Allah, how shall knowledge be raised up when we have the book of Allah, we read it and we study it and we teach it to our children? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I used to consider you one of the most knowledgeable people of Ahl al-Medina. And then he said, is not the book, the Jews and the Christians, did they have their book with them? Did they not have their book with them? Should I not inform you of the first of knowledge that shall be raised up? And he said, khushu' and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so you will not see a person having this type of humbleness in a state of fear in times to come. Also, one of the things that we find the Ahlul Ilm doing is that they put the knowledge into practice. So you find the scholar working with the knowledge that he has, the Quran and the Sunnah, adhering to it. They also are concerned with practicing those optional acts of worship, the sunnah acts of worship, not to speak about the compulsory aspects of ibadah. All of these things you will find them adhering to and staying away from those things that it is like and should be shunned. Tayyib Sheikh, tafadhal.
أن علمهم في القلوب وليس في الألسن. يقول الحسن رحمه الله: العلم علمان، علم عن الألسن فذلك حجة الله على ابن آدم، كما في الحديث: القرآن حجة لك أو عليك. وعلم في القلوب فذلك العلم النافع. علمهم في القلوب وليس في الألسن، هذا من أعظم من صفاتهم. يقول الحسن رحمه الله: العلم علمان، علم على اللسان، علم على اللسان فذاك حجة الله على ابن آدم، كما في الحديث: القرآن حجة لك أو عليك، وعلم في القلب فذلك العلم النافع. ومن صفاتهم قلة الكلام وترك المراء والجدال وترك كثرة المسائل وأغلوطة المسائل. يقول ابن رجب رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه فضل علم السلف على الخلق، فضل علم السلف على الخلق، قد ورد النهي عن كثرة المسائل وعن أغلوطات المسائل.
طيب the Shaykh Oba when he described some of the qualities of the Ahlul Ilm, and he said that knowledge is of two types. Knowledge is of two types. We have the knowledge which is on the tongue, and this is the evidence of Allah. Inshallah. This is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is used to convey to the people from the Qur'an, from the Sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, he said that the Qur'an is an evidence for or against you. The Qur'an is an evidence for or against you. The other type of knowledge is the knowledge which is found in the hearts. The knowledge which is found in the hearts of individuals. And this is the beneficial knowledge. Al-Hassan, he said, that knowledge on the tongue, that is the evidence of Allah against the children of Adam. And knowledge in the heart is the truly beneficial knowledge. One of the qualities of the people of ilm is that they don't try to find an easy life which goes against the deen. They also stay away from innovations and dealing in those polemics or discussions that really have no basis in the deen. This is one of the things that Ibn Rajab, when he dealt with the benefits of the knowledge of the Salaf over the Khalaf, is that this is one of the characteristics that is pointed out here in this last quality that they have.
ومن صفات العلماء عدم التسرع بالفتوى والجرأة عليها، فهم لا يتسرعون بالفتوى ولا تجدهم جريئون عليها ولا يتساهلون بها. والفتوى أمرها عظيم وشأنها كبير، لهذا شدد فيها الشارع الحكيم وتدافعها السلف نافعا بينا خوفا من مغبتها وورعا من تحملها ورغبة في التخلص منها. هذا هم أعلم الناس بالكتاب والسنة وأجر من وراء الشارع وأفهم بالدعاء اللطف وأعلم بدلالات النصوص. هم الذين عاصروا التنزيل وأدركوا حكمة التشريع واختارهم الله لرحمة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم وإقامة دينه ويكفيه المأمور، ومع ذلك دافع الفتوى حتى كان الرجل يأتي الواحد منهم يسأله فيرسله إلى آخر، ثم الآخر يرسله إلى ثالث، وهكذا حتى يطوف المدينة فيعود إلى الأول. ولهذا استوطى العلماء المفتي شروطا ذكروها في كتب الأصول وغيرها. ومن تلك الشروط أولا الاستقلال باللغة العربية، لأن شريعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم متلقاها ومستقاها الكتاب سنن وآثار الصحابة وضائعهم وأضيتهم بالأحكام، وكل ذلك بأصح اللغات وأشرف العبارات. ولا بد من الانتواء من العلم بالعربية لغة ولحن وتصاريف الكلام، لغة ونحو وتصاريف الكلام، فإن ذلك هو ذريعة إلى مدارك الشريعة. ثانيا معرفة ما يتعلق بأحكام الشريعة من آيات الكتاب والإحاطة بناسخها ومنسوخها، عامها وخاصها، مطلقها ومقيدها، ومبهمها وموضحها، ومبهمها وموضحها، مجملها ومفصلها. ثالثا معرفة السنن، فإن معظم أصول التكاليف متلقات من أقوال رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وأفعاله وفنون أحواله، ومعظم آي لا يستقل دون بيان الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، ثم لا يتقرر الاستدلال بالسنن إلا بالتبحر في معرفة الرجال والعلم الصحيح من الأخبار والتقديم وأسباب الجرح والتعديل. الرابع معرفة مذاهب العلماء من الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وفقههم، ومذاهب من أتى بعدهم من التابعين وأتباعهم، معرفة مذاهب العلماء المتقدمين في المسائل، مسائل الدين وأقوالهم في كل مسألة يطلب منه الإفتاء بها، وعدم معرفته بالمذاهب وأقوال أهل العلم ربما حمله على مخالفة الإجماع بسبب عدم معرفته بمذاهب من قبله من أهل العلم. الخامس الإحاطة بطرق القياس ومراتب الأدلة، السادس الورع والتقوى، فإن لم يكن ورعا تقيا لم يثق بأقواله ولا يعتمد في شيء من أحواله. يقول إمام أهل السنة الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى: ينبغي للرجل إذا حمل نفسه على الفتية أن يكون عالما بوجوه القرآن، عالما بالأسانيد الصحيحة، عالما بالسنن. وقال رحمه الله تعالى: لا تجوز الفتية إلا لرجل عالم بالكتاب والسنة. وقال رحمه الله تعالى: ينبغي لمن أفتى أن يكون عالما بقول من تقدم، وإلا فلا يفتي. نعم.
طيب. Some of the other qualities of the Ahlul Ilm is trying to stay away from hasty religious rulings and being bold in passing them. And this particular quality is something that we find in a deen that is, has yani, a lot of concern from the Prophet ﷺ. The person who goes and places himself past religious rulings without being fully qualified. And one of the reasons why we find, yani, the scholars of the past being very cautious is because of the fear that they had of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the caution that they had in respect to their deen and a desire to free themselves from the responsibility of the fatwa that they gave or would be given. For this reason, we find that some of the Sahaba, this was actually the mannerism of the Sahaba who were chosen to be the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to try and pass on the fatwa to someone else who might be more knowledgeable in their eyes to pass the religious ruling. And sometimes the person would come into Medina and he would ask a question. And the person that he questioned would tell him, go to someone else. And he would go to the other individual and this person would say, go to someone else. And he would go to the other individuals to the second and the second would tell him, go to the third. Until he would go all around Medina and come back to the first individual. Because of this, we find in respect to the Mufti, the person who is going to pass religious rulings, that he himself has certain qualities, or should have certain qualities. One of the things is his concern for the Arabic language. And he has special concern for the Arabic language. He exerts himself in acquiring an understanding of the Arabic language. Until he becomes, in respect to the Arabic language, one of the most eloquent of individuals. Because this language, the Arabic language, is the language of the Quran, and it is the language of the Sunnah. And based on it, based on your understanding of the Arabic language, you are able to understand the verses in the Quran. You are able to understand what is abrogated and what is not abrogated. You're able to understand general expressions and the restricted ones. You're able to understand what is specific and what is not specific. All of those things are taken from your understanding of the Arabic language. You will know what is has been explained in detail and that is yani, not explained in detail. After that, we find them having a concern for the knowledge of the Sunnah. Knowledge of the Sunnah. And one of the things with the Sunnah is that a person is supposed to be aware of what is authentic and what is da'if. To have some understanding of those people that are acceptable to receive narration and those to be rejected, so that the religious ruling that he takes or is going to take because of the hadith being sound in his eyes, he's able to build a religious ruling based on it. Also of the qualities of a person who's going to pass yani religious ruling, he must understand the different madhahib of the Ahl al-Ilm from the Sahaba and those who came after him from the Tabi'een. Have an understanding of them. Understanding of the issue at hand and being able to attribute to the particular issue he's dealing with where he got it from, yani the basis of his decision. Also after that, to understand the regulations of analogy or qiyas, okay, and the levels of evidence as they are presented, which is strongest, which comes next in importance. Also, one of the things of the Mufti is that he must be a cautious person and a person with taqwa. He must be a cautious person and a person with taqwa. If he is not a person who has taqwa, if he's not an upright person, then nobody's going to trust his religious ruling. But for him to be in this position, he must be adhering to his deen. Imam Ahmad, he said, if a person really wants to be in this position and carry this responsibility of passing with his Israelis, that he must be knowledgeable. He must be knowledgeable about the Asanid, meaning he must have knowledge of the people in the chain based on which you can pass a judgment whether it's authentic or not. He must have knowledge of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also he said, it is not lawful for a person to pass a religious ruling until he has knowledge of the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and what is necessary to have for him to make his ruling on of other levels of understanding. Also, for this person who is going to pass religious rulings, he must have some understanding of the statements of those who preceded him.
وقد جاءت الشريعة بالنهي عن القول في دين الله بلا علم. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: ولا تقف ما ليس لك به علم إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. أي لا تقل ما ليس لك به علم. فمن قالت الشريعة بغير علم فقد قفى ما لا علم له به، وعسى الله عز وجل. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: قل إنما حرم ربي الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن والإثم والبغي بغير الحق، إلى قوله: وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون. وأخرج البخاري في الصحيح من حديث عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال: إن الله لا ينزع العلم بعد أن أعطاهموه انتزاعا، ولكن ينتزعه منهم مع قبض العلماء بعلمهم، فيبقى ناس جهال يستفتون فيفتون برأيهم فيضلون فيضلون ويضلون. نعم.
الشيخ goes on and he describes some of the qualities of the Mufti. And some of the other qualities of the Mufti. And he is cautious not to say anything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without having knowledge, textual evidence for what he's saying. He has taqwa. Allah mentions that surely the hearing, the sight, and the heart, all of them you're responsible for and will be questioned about. Whoever then speaks about the Sharia, not based on knowledge, he has done something that he has no knowledge about and should not do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, and the Shaykh started the verse and then went to the end of it, surely my Lord has only made forbidden as for washing those extremely sinful things, those that are apparent and those that are hidden, all the way and it says, and that you say about Allah that which you have no knowledge about. And that you say about Allah that which you have no knowledge about. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a narration that we have from Abdullah ibn Amr, he, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Allah does not take away knowledge by simply snatching it away. The rather knowledge is taken away by removing the people of knowledge, the Ahlul Ilm. Until there is no scholar remaining, then the people shall take as their leaders ignorant individuals. And they will be questioned, and they will give religious rulings, and they shall go astray and lead others astray also. تفضل يا شيخ.
فقد ذكرنا صفات العلماء، فمن اتصف بهذه الصفات فهم الذين يؤخذ عنهم، فهم العلماء وهم الذين يؤخذ عنهم العلم، ولا بأس أن يؤخذ عن من دونهم، ولكن بشرط أن يكونوا من أتباع هؤلاء العلماء الذين ذكرنا صفاتهم. سواء كان الإنسان واعظا أو قاصا أو مدرسا، فإنه لا بد أن يكون محيطا بما يتكلم به، مدركا لأصول الشريعة وفروعها، وعلى الأقل أن يكون مدركا في الموضوع الذي يتحدث فيه. ولهذا جعل أهل العلم لفتوى ضوابط وشروط، وحذروا ونهوا عن التجاسر عليها، لأن ذلك من القول على الله والقول على رسوله بغير علم. بهذا سمى ابن القيم ذلك توقيعا عن الله كما في كتابه الجليل إعلام الموقعين عن رب العالمين. ومن نظر في هذا الكتاب عرف عظم الأمر، وعرف خطأ تهافت بعض الناس في أمور ليسوا أهلا لها باسم الدعوة أو الوعظ أو التوجيه أو الإصلاح أو التعليم أو باسم الأمر بالمعروف أو باسم النهي عن المنكر أو بغير ذلك مما زينه الشيطان في قلوبهم. من آثار هذا التساهل واستشراف النفوس للشهرة والظهور والجرأة على منازل العلماء ووظائفهم، والتجاسر على الأحكام والفتاوى والفصل في النوازل والقول في الفتن العظيمة دون ترون. نعم.
طيب الشيخ روزا الذي explain that the qualities that have been mentioned concerning people of knowledge, those who have those qualities, those are the ones that you take knowledge from. These are the ones that you take from if they themselves are those who follow the Ahl al-Ilmi. Those who have qualities or those qualities that were presented previously. So the person who wants to admonish, he should be very familiar about what he's speaking about, and he must be familiar with the principles of our deen and the branches of it. This is the least that you can say concerning the individual who wants to present himself in this way to admonish and advise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed certain limits and prescriptions for the person who wants to pass religious ruling. And he has warned against a person just disregarding those regulations and limitations that have been ordained. And the person who does not have these qualifications, it is as if once he opens his mouth, as if he is speaking without knowledge. He's speaking without knowledge. That he is a deer. So this person actually is representing the Book of Allah, as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentioned in his book, I'lam al-Muwaqqi'een, and Rabb al-Alameen. With this then we know the mistake of those who stand up with commanding what is right and forbidding what is wrong, and they don't have any knowledge. So those who take these, the position of passing religious ruling, or instructing, or commanding the right and forbidding the wrong, without this, they are doing something that the shaitan has made fair seeming to them. It is not based on ideal. One of the consequences of disregarding those types of qualities that have been specified is that a person now desires popularity and to be in the forefront of doing things. And he feels very safe in putting himself on the level of the Ahlul Ilm that he does not deserve. He places himself in the position of the scholars in dealing with times of tribulations and trials. He himself puts himself in a position where he tries to deal with it, but he's actually not qualified to do so. Tafadhal ya Shaykh, barakallahu fi.
ومن المشاهد اليوم أن كثيرا من الناس لا يفرقون بين القارئ حسن السنود في القرآن وبين من يقص على الناس القصص وبين من يعظ الناس ويذكرهم وبين الخطيب الذي يحسن الخطبة وبين الناصح وبين رجل الحسبة الذي يأمر بالمعروف أو ينهى عن المنكر فلا يفرقون بين هؤلاء وكذلك لا يفرقون بين الباحث في العلوم وبين طالب العلم المبتدئ وطالب العلم الكبير والعالم المشارع في العلوم وطالب العلم المشتغل بالفقه والفقيه الذي يتمكن في الفقه والفقيه الذي تمكن في الفقه والفقيه الراسخ في الفقه وطالب العلم المشتغل بالحديث ومن له تمكن في الحديث والراسخ في الحديث وطالب العلم المشتغل بالتفسير والمفسر الذي له تمكن في التفسير والمفسر الراسخ في التفسير ولا يفرقون بين المجتهد المطلق والمجتهد المقيد والعالم المشارك في العلوم والعالم المتمكن من العلوم والعالم الراسخ في العلوم إلى آخر تلك المنازل فتجد الناس يسمون الواحد من هؤلاء شيخا أو عالما لا يفرقون بين منازل الناس ومراتبهم المختلفة والذي ينبغي إنزال كل فرد في منزلته التي يستحقها دون تأثر بعاطفة أو شهرة ولكن يكون وصفه وإنزاله بناء على علم ومعرفة من غير خلط ولا مجازة فالإسفاف بالناس وهضمهم حقوقهم ظلم وكذلك رفعهم فوق ما يستحقون ظلم أيضا لهذا تجد الناس بسبب هذا الخلق يستفتون ويرجعون في أمورهم الشرعية إلى غير العلماء، فيرجعون للقارئ والواعظ والقاص والخطيب والداعية إلى آخره، وخاصة إذا كانت له أشرطة في الوعظ أو التربية أو القصص أو الرقائق وغير ذلك، ويرجعون إلى الناصح والباحث في العلوم، لا سيما إن كانت له رسائل مطبوعة أو مقالات منشورة، ويرجعون إلى طالب العلم المبتدئ كما يرجعون إلى العالم المشارك في العلوم أو العالم الراسخ في العلم، وكلهم عندهم سواء. والذيب العاقل لا يغتر بما يوصف به الشخص إعلاميا أو ما يسمعه من بلاغته، أو أن يغتر بشهادته أو انتسابه للعلم. فكم من الناس اليوم يفتقر إلى مصداقية العلم الشرعي الصحيح الذي يدعيه ويزعمه أو يوصف به، وكم يحتاج إلى معرفة واضحة في أي مراتب العلم هو، وعمن أخذ العلم، هل أخذه من أهله الراسخين أو من غيرهم، وهل عرف في مجالس العلماء الراسخين، وهل عرف بطول ملازمته للعلماء والأخذ عنهم.
الشيخ they don't make a distinction between the qari, the person who recites the Quran, a person who narrates stories and reminds the people. They don't make a distinction between a khatib, the one who gives the address on Jummah, the one who is just simply giving advice, or a person who is in charge in Islamic society on Hizbah of giving, commanding the right and forbidding the wrong.
Yes.
And a person who is deeply involved in research, a student of knowledge, the scholar who specializes in an area, the faqih, the jurist, the jurist who is well-grounded in Islamic jurisprudence, and also the jurist, the one who is yani totally grounded, the student of hadith, the student of tafsir, and the student who is really grounded in the science of Quran and explaining it. And they do not make a distinction between the mujtahid, who is absolute, meaning that he's able to give ijtihad in all areas of Islamic learning, and the different levels that have been expressed previously. Most people don't distinguish between these different types. Name but some, and most of them call all of them scholars. Call all of them scholars. But what is important and what should be done is that each individual should be placed in his proper position. So belittling people is oppression, and raising them above their station is also oppression, and equating them above the station that they really deserve is oppression. For this reason, we find people going back to du'a, or people who are just simply inviters, or people who just simply admonish, or people who are involved in just training individuals, or people who are good at telling stories, and they take from them. And they take from them religious ruling on the same level, all of them. And they have statements, they have tapes, they have all these things out there. So the person who is wise, and who has understanding, he knows who to take from, How many people? How many people don't really have anything to invite you to? And they claim to have what they really don't possess. So it is important then, if you're going to take from an individual, that that individual also has taken from someone who is scholarly himself. And he has known that he has spent some time in acquiring knowledge.
هذا ما في وقت، لكن أريد أن أفرد الصفات بأسلوب آخر.
نعم.
ثم نختم.
طيب فضل شيخنا.
العلماء الراسخون لهم علامات، ومن علاماتهم أولا أن يعرفوا بسلامة المعتقد، ثانيا أن يعرفوا بسلامة المنهج، ثالثا أن يعرفوا بالرسوخ في العلم ومداخلة المسائل والتحقيق فيها، رابعا أن يعرفوا بالتخرج من مجالس الراسخين قبلهم من العلماء، خامسا أن يعرفوا بالعناية بتوحيد عباده وترسيخه في نفوس الناس وتعظيم جنابه في كافة شؤون الحياة، سادسا أن يعرفوا بتعظيم السنة والدعوة لها وترسيخها في النفوس وتعظيم جنابها في كافة شؤون الناس وحمل الناس على اتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في كل أمر من أموره، سابعا أن يكونوا قد أمضوا أكثر ما تقدم من عمرهم في العلم دراسة وتدريسا، ثامنا من صفات العالم الراسخ في العلم أن لا يكون من الأحداث في السن، وإنما يكون من الذين فقرتهم التجارب وتخرسوا في المواقف وفئاب الأمور ونفروا في النوافل، تاسعا أن لا يكون من الصغار في العلم، وإنما يكون من الذين طال نظرهم في العلم وترقوا في مراتبه وشاركوا في النظر والحكم في النوادل، عاشرا أن يكون ذا عقل راجح متريث في الأمور متأن في المستجدات فلا يكون من سفهاء الأحلام، حادي عشر العلم في أصول الدين وفروعه وليس في فن دون فن، فتجده يعرف في علم من علوم الشريعة وهو ضعيف في العقيدة أو الفقه أو منهج وسبيل الصحابة والسلف رضي الله عنهم، فهذا ليس من أهل العلم، العالم يعرف في أصول الدين وفروعه. ثاني عشر أن يسلك مسلك من قبله من أهل العلم ولا يخالفهم إلا بعد تقدمه في العلم وتبين الدليل له، وأن يكون له إمام فيما يذهب إليه ويخالف فيه. ثالث عشر شهادة العلماء له بالرسوخ في العلم وسلامة المنهج وبقائه على هذا وبقاء أولئك العلماء الذين شهدوا له بقاؤهم على هذه الشهادة. رابع عشر ظهور أثر العلم عليه في السمت والعبادة والخشية والوراء. خامس عشر الحكمة والتقيد للسياسة الشرعية في الفتوى والتعليم والأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر، وذلك لعلمه بمقاصد الشريعة. سادس عشر حفظ جماعة المسلمين وجمع كلمتهم ورعاية مصالحهم والحزم في ذلك ومنع ما يفرق جماعتهم ويشق عصاهم، وذلك لعنايته بقواعد الشريعة. سابع عشر اهتمامه بتأليه الراعي على الرعية والرعية على الراعي، إلى غير ذلك من الصفات التي تبين أن الإنسان أنه من أهل العلم وليس من طلاب الشهرة أو من أصحاب الأفكار السياسية أو التجارية أو غير ذلك الذين يلبسون لباس العلم لأجل أن يصلوا إلى أهدافهم. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يوفقنا لكل خير، وصلى الله وسلم على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بارك الله فيكم وجزاكم.
أريد أن أفرد الصفات بأسلوب آخر.
نعم.
Our Sheikh Hafidhullah, he said, I would like to end our session, but before I do so, I will note the characteristics of the scholars in another way. The Sheikh said, the well-grounded scholar, al-rasikh, al-alim al-rasikh, he has signs or characteristics. The first sign, characteristic, is that they have become known for the purity of their belief. And he is known for the purity of his manhaj, methodology. Third of all, he is well grounded in the Islamic sciences. He is known for his research in it and his entering into the issues concerning it. Fourth of all, they are known that they have graduated from the sittings of the ulama, the scholars that came before them that were grounded in knowledge, that were rasikh in ilm. Fifthly, they are well known in their establishment of tawheed, al-ubudiyyah, that is to seclude and make Allah unique and only in your worship toward Him. So they are known by this characteristic that they teach it, implement it, and incorporate it in all aspects of their life. Sixth characteristic is they are known for their glorifying and honoring the sunnah and teaching it to the people and making it established and well grounded in the people's and glorifying it for the people and calling them to it and incorporating it into all aspects of the life. Number seven, they have spent the majority of their lives in knowledge, learning it and teaching it. Number eight, from the characteristics and signs of the scholar that is rasikh, well established and grounded in knowledge, is that he is not from the young in age. Rather, he is one that is well experienced and have been tested with trials and been put in tough situations. So the ninth characteristic is that they are not small in knowledge, rather they are people that have entered into knowledge, delved into it, and have put much time into knowledge and looking into it. They have also participated in knowledge with its people and looked into the rulings and into the and also have experience in the rulings concerning the nawazil. Number 10 is that he has sound intellect, patient with the affairs. He is not hasty in the serious affairs. He understands, and he is not from the despicable or lowly people. The 11th characteristic is his knowledge in the fundamentals and the branches of Islam and the Sharia, law. And not in one science and without the other. Basically, he is someone that has looked into all sciences and has knowledge of all or the majority of the sciences of Islam. So he is not someone you will find that has knowledge in. He is strong in a certain knowledge and he is weak in another knowledge, such as being strong in one knowledge but weak in fiqh. Or being strong in a fiqh and weak in the way of the methodology and the way of the sahaba and aqidah. This one is not from the people of knowledge. The alim, the scholar, he knows about the fundamentals, foundations and principles of Islam, the Sharia, and its branches as well. 12th characteristic is he treads upon the path of those who have come before him from the people of knowledge. And he does not oppose nor contradict them except after he has attained a level of knowledge and has come forward in knowledge, and his level has been raised and the proof has become clear to him. لدليل.
وأن يكون له إمام فيما يذهب إليه ويخالف فيه.
And that he has an imam, a predecessor, from the scholars that has the same stance on that issue, in that he is opposing the scholar in. So he has an imam, a predecessor for what he is saying. Number 13 is the testimony of the scholars, the ulama, for him, that he is well grounded and firm in knowledge. And the purity of his methodology. And that these scholars that testify to this continue to testify to it and are still upon it. يعني their testification is not nullified. Number 14 is that knowledge has become apparent upon him. In his, when you see him, his characteristic, his manner, his dealing, his worship, his khashya, his يعني humility to Allah, and his wara, his being aesthetic in this dunya, or being not caring too much about indulging in the dunya. Number 15 is wisdom and having taqayyud. That is, number 15 is having wisdom and knowing the boundaries in which to deal. Knowing the boundaries of the political or the politics of a sharia, of da'wah. Meaning how a person gives da'wah. He knows how to do that. This is what is meant by the political, yani political ways of sharia. In his giving fatwa, and in his teaching, and ordering, and forbidding. And this is due to his knowledge in the reasons of legislation, why the legislations were sent down. The maqasid of a sharia, the reasons behind the sharia. Number 16 is his preserving the jama'ah of the Muslimin. His preserving the jama'ah of the Muslimin and uniting them and taking into consideration what is best for them. The Muslimin, what is best for, taking into consideration that which is best for the Muslimin, and him being serious and forthgoing in that, and forbidding them from that which will split and divide their jama'ah and unity, and this is due to his inayah, this is due to his preserving of the fundamental principles of sharia, of the Islamic law. Number 17 is that he does not try to make the ruler go against those that are being ruled, nor does he try to cite those that are being ruled against their ruler. To other than this, of characteristics that clarify for us that the person is from the people of knowledge, and not just from those that are seeking fame, and those that just have opinions, or يعني they have some afkar, really meaning thoughts. So they are not from the people that are seeking fame, nor from the companions of these thoughts and opinions that are political or that are concerning tijara, business, or other than this, from those that put on the fabric or the clothing of knowledge, so that they mainly so that they can get to that which they are mainly so that they can attain their goal.
نسأل الله عز وجل أن يوفقنا لكل خير. الخير.
We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He grants us success to all that is good.
وصلى الله وسلم على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Thank Him.